A tentative deal is struck for NATO to lead the air campaign in Libya. The Great Migration shifts into reverse. The crisis in Japan threatens to undo decades of work by the nuclear energy lobby. General Electric paid no federal tax last year, even though it made billions of dollars in profits. And a gay bar in Los Angeles mourns a beloved regular named Liz. I'm Pat Lyons with a preview of Friday's New York Times. Key members of NATO struck a tentative deal on Thursday for the alliance to take military command of the no-flight zone over Libya, even as Allied warplanes delivered another ferocious round of airstrikes against forces loyal to Colonel Muammar al-Qaddafi. The deal was reached on a four-way conference call by Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton and the foreign ministers of Britain, France, and Turkey. French warplanes destroyed a Libyan combat aircraft that was spotted flying over the embattled city of Misurata, where rebels are holding out against a determined assault by loyalist forces. In other parts of the country, momentum in the fighting seemed to be shifting back toward the rebels. Military analysts said that the air campaign had largely neutralized Colonel Qaddafi's air defenses and was chewing up his army's heavy weaponry. New census figures show that black Americans are moving back to the South in increasing numbers, reversing the great migration from southern farms to northern cities of the early 1900s. In the last decade, the South's share of the country's African-American population grew to its largest in half a century. Sabrina Tavernes writes in The Times that blacks accounted for more of the South's recent population growth than any other group, and that 20% of blacks living in the South today were born in the North, up from just 3% in 1970. Black Americans have also been leaving cities for the suburbs in large numbers and tend to live in more integrated neighborhoods than before, according to the census figures. Bill Frey, a demographer at the Brookings Institution, said the new figures would break a lot of old stereotypes. General Electric, the nation's largest corporation, had a very good year in 2010, making $14 billion in profits around the world, including more than $5 billion in the United States. But David Koshinevsky reports in The Times that GE paid no corporate tax whatever to the IRS last year. In fact, the tax sheltering strategies that it uses and the tax breaks it has won in Washington over the years let the company claim $3.2 billion back from the Treasury. Mr. Koshinevsky reports that the company's tax department is widely considered the sharpest in the country, and it has gotten so good at using the tax code to legally shelter profits and generate credits that it's become a profit center. Minimizing its taxes is so important to GE, in fact, that the company has assigned tax strategists to important posts at every major manufacturing facility and business unit that it owns around the world. More than a decade of painstaking lobbying work by the nuclear power industry to escape the dark clouds of Three Mile Island and Chernobyl is now in jeopardy again because of the unfolding disaster in Japan. And the advocates on all sides are girding for a fight. Eric Lichtblau writes in The Times that the nuclear industry has already held more than 20 briefings for lawmakers, arguing that despite the events in Japan, nuclear energy is a safe, affordable, and clean energy source that doesn't contribute to global warming or depend on imported fuel. Opponents, on the other hand, are hoping to use Japan's desperate struggle to contain the disaster at the Fukushima Daiichi plant to stop the nuclear industry's political momentum in its tracks in the United States. Mr. Lichtblau writes that so far, politicians, like President Obama, who have backed nuclear energy, are holding firm, but polls show that public opinion is souring fast. The Egyptian revolution that toppled President Hosni Mubarak was based on secular ideals, but in the aftermath, as Egyptians try to build a new political system, religion is emerging as a powerful force. Michael Slackman of The Times reports from Cairo that the Muslim Brotherhood is emerging as by far the best organized and most extensive political movement in the country, and that worries many secular Egyptians, who fear that the chance for fundamental reforms in their country will be lost. The biggest surprise, Mr. Slackman writes, is the Brotherhood's tacit partnership with the military authorities, who used to vilify and repress the Brotherhood when Mr. Mubarak was in charge. The Brotherhood was reluctant to join the protest movements against Mr. Mubarak and jumped in only when it was clearly gaining traction. But the young secular activists who led those protests are clearly no longer shaping events, Mr. Slackman reports, while the Brotherhood is able to help deliver what the military wants, stability and calm in the streets. Finally, Brooke Barnes reports from West Hollywood, California, that a sprawling gay bar called The Abbey is in mourning today for a beloved regular, Elizabeth Taylor. A more unlikely hangout for a megastar, especially one as famously heterosexual as Elizabeth Taylor, might be hard to find, but Ms. Taylor used to come in once a week and called it her favorite pub. And the feeling was mutual. Ms. Taylor was hugely popular in the gay community, not only as a camp glamour touchstone, but also for risking her stardom to champion AIDS awareness and to raise money for research after her friend Rock Hudson died of AIDS in 1985. The Abbey calls its VIP room the Elizabeth Taylor Room in her honor, and Mr. Barnes reports that her fans and the bar's employees and regulars have been filling it with flowers, candles, and tokens of affection since she died. The bar owner, David Cooley, last heard from her on Halloween when she called to see if it was a good night to swing by. He told her no, it was too crowded, and anyway, there were already more than half a dozen Elizabeth Taylors in the place. And that's a preview of Friday's New York Times. For more on these and other stories, pick up a copy of the paper or visit nytimes.com. From the New York Times newsroom, I'm Pat Lyons.